welcome to the Fantasy Amateurs first ever podcast. My name is Mark Jessup, and I'm here with Ryan. Ryan, how you going?
Yeah, good, Mark. How are you, mate?
Oh, any better, I'd be dangerous. For those who aren't aware of who we are, so Ryan and I are members of the NRL Fantasy Lounge and also the creators of the NRL Fantasy Amateurs. Basically, what we are hoping to do is give everybody a little bit of knowledge about NRL fantasy football. Basically, what we're going to do is go through each of the teams. We're going to do six teams today and basically just sort of go through the fantasy relevant players, have a look at their potential outlook for 2021 and our thoughts around the team as a whole. So what we've done is had a little bit of a look at who we think is going to be in what positions come round one. So we've got Jermaine Asako at fullback with Xavier Coates and Corey Oates on the wings, Herbie Farnworth, Tessie New in the centers, Milford at 5'8". We've got a little bit of a positional battle here between Tom Dearden and Brodie Croft for the halfback jersey. And then, you know, your forwards, Payne Haas, Tom Flegler, Pat Carrigan, and the edges, Alex Glenn and Jordan Rickey, Jake Turpin at hooker, with McCulloch, Pengai, Lodge, and Asiata on the bench. So, Ryan, who's your first or the person that sticks out to you the most as being somebody that you'd think about plugging into your fantasy lineup this year?
Well, the first two that jump off the page, it's got to be Tessie New and Jordan Rickey, both very bargain-priced. If they've got starting roles, you'd have to think they're just plug and play for the most part, straight into your 21.
Yeah, well, yeah, so Tessie New, obviously we got a bit of a glimpse of him last year with Seabold's shenanigans of moving in between the bench and fullback, and he never sort of got a chance to get comfortable. So he's sort of done us a favor there because he's only priced at 263K. So, I mean, if he's a starter, he's a no auto plug into the team. And, you know, Jordan Rickey's a little bit more expensive at 344K, but it's really good in what we got to see him last year. So, you know, even if he was to get 60 minutes, you know, he's definitely a good money spinner for the Broncos. So I would say I've got a guy here that I'm looking at who's a bit of a gamble, and it's obviously one of Ryan's favorite players, Anthony Milford. But Anthony Milford had a terrible season last year, you know, no point sugarcoating it. We'd be looking for him to bounce back, coming in at 427K. I mean, he started last year at what, 800 and something? Or coming off that, you know, season where he was playing fullback but doing all the in-play kicking, where he was just, you know, he was an absolute fantasy monster. We wouldn't be expecting him to get back to those sorts of levels. But, you know, Ryan, do you think it's realistically that we, you know, look at him and say, oh, what was he doing when he was partnered with Ben Hunt?
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible not to see some upside there. Unless you think the Broncos are going to be as awful as they were last year, which
is,
it's hard to believe they will be. With that team, like it's not a terrible team.
No, on paper they look pretty good, but I thought the same last year. So
they looked good on paper last year as well.
Exactly. Yeah,
because he's been playing hurt for a while as well.
Yeah, he's got the niggling shoulder and whatever, and I mean doing the off season should do him a world of good.
Yeah, exactly. Like you got to factor in as well, like how much did that mid season break with COVID in 2020. You know, we saw that affect a lot of players with injury, like a full off season under his belts and having to stop and start.
Yeah. I saw something from the NRL physio about, you know, a dramatic increase in the soft tissue injuries, you know, due to, you know, stress and, you know, players being underdone and stuff. So I guess the last one for me that I'd like to bring up as a value player would be Jermaine Asako. We said this last year and then he lost the job to Jack Bird, who then subsequently did his ACL, and they were sort of moving him around a bit again. And I think he had some off-field personal dramas. So he's coming into this year at 399K. And I mean, for a fullback under 400 grand, it's not unrealistic to think that he's going to show a good amount of improvement this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I started with Asako last year, and after round one, I was looking like a genius after he packed the try, and everyone was jumping on. Sure enough, falls away. But he's even cheaper than he was last year. You'd assume he's still got the goal kicking going into this year. He's a very tempting option.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, just to start last year at 63, 34, 44, 20 and 46 in the first five games of the year, which, you know, you'll take that from a sub 400K player.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and then he sort of rolled into a 21, 3 in 16 minutes, 18 in a full game. You know, so he sort of obviously something happened there.
Well, we know he did have some personal issues last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'm banking on him to bounce back, and I've all but got him penned in rather than penciled into my round one team. So,
oh, wow. Penned in.
All but. The other, I guess, point that we need to bring up with the Broncos is news that's just come out this morning. Looks like Payne Haas has found himself in trouble with the law. Obviously, details still coming out around specifically what happened there. But, you know, with the season a couple of months away, his round one availability has a question mark on it now, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not the first time he's been in trouble with the integrity unit. Like, we know he's been suspended for four games before.
Oh, he did do that last. Was it last year or the year before?
I think it might have been 2019. Was it?
Right. Okay. Yeah, no, I remember that. Obviously, that was more to do with him not cooperating with
the investigation
or whatever. But yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, the big beneficiary of that, if that was to come about, it's probably Matt Lodge. You know, he's only 390K. He was a borderline keeper not that long ago. So, I mean, if Haas misses some significant time, we could be looking at some upside there with him or John Asiata, who's 300K.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely going to be some value there if Haas is looking at a stint on the sideline.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that pretty much covers off on the Broncos. So the second team that we're going to look at is the Canterbury Bulldogs. So with the Bulldogs, obviously, we've got a couple of not super exciting, but a couple of fantasy options. So obviously, Corey Allen's just made his way over from Souths. We're expecting that he's going to take that fullback jersey with, you know, the back line of Watini, Zalesniak, Averillo, Hopewadi and Kotrick. I have heard that possibly Averillo might end up at 5'8", which would put Kotrick into the centres and bring in a guy like a Nick Meaney or an Ockenbaugh. But, you know, I guess to jump in straight away into it, what's your thoughts about Averillo?
Oh, no, he's definitely an exciting option. He played quite well when he was given a start at 5'8 last year. Although the only downside is you'd think he would lose the goal kicking this year to Flanagan.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, you know, whenever you've got a starting player on or around 300K, you really need to have a serious look at them.
Especially if they're available in the centres. Like, we know last year how hard was it to fill a centre role, and they were constantly in and out with injury. So, I mean, if you can, like, we've seen two now with Tezzy New and Averillo that are both very cheap options.
Available. Well, actually, New, I don't think, is available at centre. He's just...
Oh, really? Well, I mean, like, I've seen Lone Scout say that if he is named at centres round one, he will be available there.
Right, All right. Interesting. With Averillo, he only played 5 games where he played the full 80 minutes last year with a low score of 30. So
he's quite a good baseman.
His 5 80-minute scores were 48 without a try, 30 with a try, 41 with a try, 40 without a try, and 34 without a try. So that is for, 300K? Somewhere in that range, he becomes, you know, another one of those auto buys as a center, or depending on there are, you know, I think there's actually a couple of pretty good center options floating around. He might be your 18th man or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, even with goal kicking, losing the goal kicking, taking a few points off that average, there's still plenty of value there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a 35 average, I would suggest, at least. Hard to go past it. So the other one, actually, Will Hopewadi is an interesting one for me. So he's coming in at 395,000. If you look at his sort of since he came back from his Mormon mission thing that he went on, his 80-minute performance is in the centers, he averages 41.5 or something like that. So, and he's got a good sort of set of base stats there. So plugging, you know, you want your guys who are in your centers to be sort of guaranteed a job and not going to give you 3 points. I think, you know, he's he's one of those guys that, you know, he'll do that. Like, even like, you know, last year we had Stephen Crichton, who was just, you know, he was putting, he was giving you 20 to 25 if he didn't score a try, up to 40, 50, 60 if he did. Hopewadi's worst score here in 80 minutes last year was 19, and that was against the Raiders, who we know were a really, really good team last year.
Yeah, no, it's quite impressive, really. Like, even last year with Stephen Crichton, like, there were times he's scoring in the high 20s, low 30s with a try. So, I mean, a lot depends on, can this Bulldogs team score points? Like, we know they've struggled over the last few years to score points.
Trent Barrett is an attacking coach, and I think they signed him because of that. He was responsible for the Panthers' attack last year, and we all know how good that was.
That's true.
You know, he's brought in Corey Allen, who did a fantastic job for Souths once Latrell went down, and an even better job for Queensland in that game three. You know, on top of that, you got, you know, Flanagan coming in, you got Kotrick coming in, you got, so yeah, I mean, they have made some improvements there, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do. I think they got Hetherington that they've brought in as well. He did a really good job for New Zealand last year as a lone player. So I'm excited to see what they can do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you said, they've definitely signed some strike weapons, you know, some players that can bring points on their own. So hopefully with a little bit of help around him, Hopewadi can actually add on to those already good base stats and, you know, provide some attacking stats on top of them.
Yeah. So I guess speaking about, I mentioned them through the course of that Bulldogs chat, but I mean, the next one along the line is Canberra Raiders, who are coming off a really good season. They have a couple of intriguing options. I don't know if I'd go so far as to call them exciting yet. Fantasy relevant people, you know, Bailey Simonson coming in to Kotrick's role on the wing there at 246K. I mean, is there any way that you could see, short of him not being picked, that you wouldn't end up with him in your team?
No, I think he's a decent option. I think he's, unless there's some better options out there, I think he's definitely one to consider for 21. I don't know if I'd want him in my 17.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd be looking at him for my number 21 jersey.
Yeah, he could be one of those, you know, good slow burn cash cows. Yeah. You know that as long as he's healthy, his spot is probably pretty secure. He did play well last year in the limited opportunity he got, and I think he's, you know, bulked up quite a bit over the offseason as well.
Yeah. He's been on the Bronson Sherry protein powder. Looks of it. But yeah, no, I think he had a couple of games off the bench or something last year, which might, I'm just going to pull up his game log here. Yeah, so three games where he didn't play 80 minutes with scores of 1, 3, and 4, which is going to drag anybody's average down. You know, outside of that, he's got a 19, a 23, a 28, and a 34. That's a more than enough to be chugging along, you know, slowly making money in your number 21 spot slash, you know, if you have a late pullout and, you know, need somebody to fill into your wing fullback for an extra 25 points.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I think that he, yeah, he's definitely a good option for that. A bit like Ravalawa was couple of years ago, and Sivo, we had them sitting in the 20 and 21 making money, and then Sivo ended up being really good.
Yeah, let's just hope he's not another Braden Williami.
Outside of Bailey Simonson, I've seen some people talking about Curtis Scott. Curtis Scott had one kind of relevant fantasy season a couple of years ago, but he hasn't kicked on the way that we anticipated he was going to. I personally don't have any interest in rostering him, even though he's cheap.
I just think there's better options out there.
I mean, like we're talking about, for an extra 30K, you can go up to a Will Hopewadi, who's going to give you that solid base. And you're not going to be sitting there going, I wonder if Hopewadi has a job. Whereas, you know, Curtis Scott, they've got a couple of really good juniors coming through.
Yeah, they had a couple of really good juniors debut last
year. I mean, he by no means has a job. I'd be sort of not that interested in him going through. Obviously, White and Williams will be back in the halves. Don't really, all their value was created last year. One point I will say with Jack Whiten is I had somebody mention something about these new scoring opportunities being good for him. Jack Whiten is a completely different player fantasy-wise with and without Josh Hodgson. Josh Hodgson will be back for round one. And I think it's something like a 12-point gap between his scoring with and without Josh Hodgson. So, yeah, I would be avoiding him. The two other guys from the Raiders that have interest to me, I mean, Josh Hodgson's one of them. He had a couple of low scores, then did his ACL last year. He may be a beneficiary of these new scoring rules. Plus also, you know, I think at one point he was a 48 odd point scorer, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he was going along quite well. He was in a bit of a purple patch, scoring fantasy points for fun. So at that price, he's definitely intriguing. I think a lot depends on his minutes. So if you think he is going to be playing 80 minutes right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm of the belief that he will, basically because of how they were using Havili last year. When he was playing, they were using Havili as an extra forward slash if the Raiders were giving him a touch-up, then he was getting subbed off.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps his case that, you know, Tom Starling's in a little bit of trouble, so we don't know if he'll be available round one. I think for me, it'll be one I'll be watching closely over the preseason. He's on the short list, but I'm not ready to give him the pen, so to speak.
Yeah, he's definitely not penned in, like a really lightly written pencil. So, you know, like when you write something in pencil too heavy and then you try to use the eraser and it's got the dents in there still. It's like a really light colored pencil. Very easily erased if need be. And I mean, there's one other guy here for the Raiders that's the benefit of an off-season departure. Obviously, we lost John Bateman, sadly, but we get to see Corey Harawira-Naira potentially taking that back row spot. I believe he's going to be in an off-season battle with Hudson Young in order to get that back row spot. He's back down at 310,000 now because he was spending, you know, a fair bit of time on the bench last year. If he's able to nail down a 60 plus minute starting role, he would be absolutely, I don't like saying must have, but like you'd be crazy to pass him up at that point.
Yeah, he seems like someone that needs to be in just about every team if he does have that starting edge role.
Yeah. So the fourth team that we're going to have a look at is the Cronulla Sharks. The first reaction I had when I read their list of players and their fantasy prices was that there wasn't anything of interest there to me. However, on closer inspection, there's a couple of guys that we might be able to have a look at. So we're expecting them to look pretty similar to their team that they were fielding last year, plus Aiden Tolman, who is likely going to be their lock. And, you know, they'll be rolling with Fifita playing impact minutes off the bench, I'd say, with Hamlin Ualie and you know, Talakai or another back rower. They've got Jesse Ramian in the centres, who the last time he played for the Sharks, was it 2018?
Yeah, I think he left for the Knights in 2019.
So he was a keeper in 2018. So, you know, if he can get back to that form. I was reading something about when he was playing outside Shorten Johnson. They were doing the short ball to Nakora, or the cutout ball to Katoa. And he was just getting completely missed in the attacking raids of the Sharks. But with Shorten Johnson out indefinitely, you would have to imagine that they're going to be looking for somebody else to create attack on that right side. And, you know, Ramian's a prime candidate for some early ball. Hey.
Yeah, like he's definitely got the size and the power. He's been pretty disappointing since 2018 when he went on that really hot run. You know, he fell away, obviously, in his time with the Knights and wasn't the player he was in 2018 with the Sharks last year and his return like some thought he might be. But look, no, you're right. With Johnson gone for quite a while, you'd have to think they're looking for something. We've got Matt Moylan currently as the front runner for that 5-8 spot, which we'll get to.
For at least a week anyway.
Yeah, until he does his hamstring.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not like, again, he's not someone that I'm looking at for round one. Too many better options out there, but he is one to keep an eye on at that price.
And that comes back to what we were sort of saying. You know, Ramian is 36,000 more expensive than Hopewadi is, and you're getting arguably a better player with Hopewadi. So why would you spend the extra 35, 36 grand to get somebody who hasn't done it for a couple of years now? So then the only other two really that are of interest to me fantasy-wise for round one is the two halves that we've got projected here, which is Moylan and Townsend. And as I say that, I vomit in my mouth a little bit. But, you know, Matt Moylan did not have a very good year last year. He averaged about 24.6 he averaged. In his typical scoring, he's a 35-point player roughly, which would be a 10-point boost on what he did last year. 35 points from a 5-8 is not a lot. He only played four full games last year. Sorry, five, but his best score was 37. So, I mean, he didn't show us a lot last year, but he was in and out. We've got round 3-4, misses round 5, 6, 7, 8, misses rounds 9 to 12, 13 through to 15. So it was very interrupted. Sharky's had sort of a bit of an up and down year. They were good in some games and terrible in others. I think at 300 grand, he's probably worth the gamble as a wing fullback.
Yeah, that dual position does make him tempting. Another thing that we'll have to keep an eye on during the preseason is the goal-kicking duties. Moylan did goal kick, he took over for Chad Townsend in round 14 and 15 before he got injured again, unfortunately.
Okay.
So we'll see, because I don't see a whole lot of goal-kicking options in that team. Like, it seems like it's going to be either one of Moylan or Townsend, and Townsend is a 60-odd percent average goal kicker. So it's a possibility that Moylan does pick up those goal-kicking duties.
Yeah. And I mean, if it's Townsend as well, though, you know, looking at Townsend, I've got a fantastic tool here, courtesy of NRL Fantasy Lounge, which is the Fantasy Stats Halves Partners, where you can actually isolate players' fantasy scores by who they partnered in the halves. So when Chad Townsend and Matt Moylan play together, Moylan averages 34 and Townsend averages 44. And Townsend's starting priced at 33. So I would suggest I'll probably have whichever one of these guys is kicking goals.
That seems like a good play, to be honest. You know, that could add quite a few points to their average.
Yeah. I am not excited about putting Moylan in my 17. It may be that it's, you know, you're choosing between Moylan and Tessie Niu for your wing fullback spot and the other one's your 18th man or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, they're the options. There's realistically, like, Tolman, he's boring. He's going to play lots of minutes. He's probably going to keep up the average that he had last year. He's not going to increase in value, and that's not the sort of person that you're targeting for round one. Same with Toby Rudolph. Aaron Woods, you know, they're all going to play somewhere between 45 and 55 minutes, I would say, and sort of steal each other's upside.
It's hard to argue. It's, you know, obviously a shame that Andrew Feeder's completely fallen off a cliff with his knee problems.
Yeah.
So we're stuck with the likes of Woods and Tolman, but...
Yeah. Different sort of players.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not going to throw 26 garbage offloads out the back and and make it exciting. The next team to talk about is the Gold Coast Titans, who are everybody's second team this year.
Yeah, they are the darling of the league this year.
Yeah, they've made some absolutely cracking off-season signings, bringing in Tino Fasua Mulaawi, Dave Fida, Herman Asiasi, even Sam McIntyre, who did a fantastic job for the Tigers last year. I will be very surprised if the Titans aren't playing finals football, if not sniffing around the top four, based on what they've done here.
Yeah, it's a very exciting lineup, you know, especially when we saw the impact that a guy like even AJ Brimson brought to their team in the back half of the year. Oh. Titans were pretty awful for the beginning of the year, and then when they started to get healthier towards the end, they actually, you know, started playing some really good football.
Brimson is fantastic. And I mean, you know, he's coming into this year at 667K. So that averages out to about 45.
I think it'd be a little bit more than that. I think it'd be around 50. The average about
50. Yeah, 50, just under 50. Yeah, okay. So, I mean, realistically, fantasy-wise, to start the season, there's probably not a lot of upside there, but somebody that you could be targeting down the stretch for a final spot, depending on how the season's going.
Yeah, absolutely. He could be a third wing fullback option.
Oh, for sure. Fogarty is another one as well, who had an awesome season last year, coming in at 666K as well. So he's just under 50 as well. Probably lost most of his upside. But I mean, you know, did he kick goals at the end of last year?
That's a good question. I believe he did.
But I have this funny feeling like he might have. Yeah, so Fogarty only kicked 9 goals for the whole season last year. So he's got, you know, if he was to take that over, he's got some upside there. But I think they'll probably leave it with Taylor because Fogarty's, you know, steering the team around. But, you know, the Titans weren't a particularly good team and he's putting up 49, 65, 66, 44, 68, 56, 81, 49, 70, 71, 54. So, I mean, he's got room to grow into that, but you're probably looking at a couple of other guys in a similar price point, which we'll talk about shortly instead for me.
Yeah, I could make a case for why you'd want to start with him. Like, he is priced at around that 50-point mark. We talked about how the Titans weren't playing as good a footy when he first came into the side in the early rounds compared to in the back ends where they get some guys back. And if you look at that back end run from about round 11 onwards, he only scored
tries.
Yeah, his lowest score from round 11 to 19 was 44. So you could make the case that if they are going to be better this year, maybe that is the Jamal Fogarty we'll see throughout the year and be a little bit of value there.
He was, you know, we had a, you know, the Mitch Moses elevation from borderline keeper to absolute stud 2 years ago. There's nothing to say that Fogarty can't take a step up and sit in the 55 to 60 bracket this year.
Yeah, he's an exciting player.
So fantasy-wise, Brian Kelly is an interesting one. A couple of people have brought him up to me and I sort of skimmed over it and didn't really sort of think too much about it. And then I saw a couple of people talking about him and what he did to close out last year. You know, he got voted the best, was it the best left center in the league by the players last year? And from a fantasy perspective, he threw up from round 11, 34, 38, 62, 67, 19 against the Raiders, 37 and 64. You know, that's a pretty good average there. You know, you're talking about a low score of 19 and three scores in the 60s, one of which there wasn't even a try. Best score in that was a tryless 67 with nine tackle breaks.
Yeah, that's huge, especially for a guy in his price range.
Yeah, and I mean, he's still young. He's still growing. He's, you know, what, he's 400 and something K to start the year. See, 464. So, you know, you're talking about investing an extra 60 grand on top of a Hopewadi. But, you know, if you were thinking about a Ramian, you know, for an extra 30 grand, you go up to Kelly, who's got the form.
Yeah, it could definitely be worth the risk and the investment.
Yeah. There's a couple other guys from the Titans that we might have a quick look at. Mitch Rain is an ex-fantasy gun. Obviously, they've decided not to renew Nathan Peets this year. You know, if Rain is to take an 80-minute role at hooker, price under 600K, and, you know, he used to average, what, 55 to 60 at hooker?
Yeah, he's one that if he's starting and playing 80 minutes, which at this stage we believe he will be, he's got to be in your team, doesn't he?
Yeah, you would think so. He didn't manage a single game of 80 minutes last year.
No, but in 2019, he played quite a few and averaged about 53, so.
Yeah. But, you know, you just look at his games 16, 17, 18, 16, 17, 18, and 20, you know, 57 in 63 minutes, 58 in 61 minutes, 56 in 74 minutes, and 61 in 62 minutes. You know, that's great numbers for a hooker. Like, even if you got him at 589K and he scored 57, 56, 56, 61, you'd be over the moon with that sort of scoring, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And he's different from some hookers where he's not just a tackle bot, like where you just have to rely on him getting 50 tackles to get 50 points. He's got a real attacking nature to his game.
Yeah, he does like to get out and run.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we see that where he can score tries from dummy half as well, close to the line.
Yeah. So the other two off-season acquisitions for the Titans, who both are interesting fantasy-wise for me, is Dave Fifita and Tino Fasuamalaoi. For me, Tino is an interesting one because he's a good player, but good players aren't always good fantasy players. It feels like he should get more minutes. He looks like he scores at almost a point a minute, but he does score a fair few tries. Just having a look at his scoring from last year, where he played sort of 50 or more minutes, scores of 38, 58, 44, 67, 86, 42, 40, 46, 64, 60, 40. He does have the points on the board. He was very good for Queensland in State of Origin. He's a developing player, but he's starting at 574K. So it's not a cheap investment in terms of a gamble. What are your thoughts on Tino?
For mine, he's very awkwardly priced.
42 and a half points is where he's sort of priced at.
Yeah, a lot of it depends on minutes. So right now, we've sort of got him around the 50 to 55 minute range, which
is probably, if it's 55, it's probably enough. If it's 50, it's not enough.
Yeah, exactly. If he's only getting 50, he's probably not a keeper and probably not making enough. Like, he'll make a little bit of money, but probably not enough to warrant a buy. Yeah, it's a very awkwardly priced.
I'd suggest he will be a buy or Mitch Rain will be a buy, but not both of them.
Right. So do you think maybe Tyrone Peachy could play a little bit of hooker if he's not playing lock?
Well, either Peachy or Tino can play, like, middle is a middle, whether it's front row or or whatever. He might, Tino can also slip out to the edge as well. But, you know, like we've got McIntyre penciled in here for an end of the bench 15 minute role. If they use Tanner Boyd off the bench for 15 minutes to relieve Mitch Rain and those 15 minutes go into the middle, 10 of those might go to Tino and 5 might go to Herman. And then he's 55 to 60 instead of 50 to 55. And he becomes a borderline keeper slash upside play weekly sort of guy.
So, yeah, no, I see what you're saying. So a lot of it could depend on how it shakes out for the team list round one.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'll probably be doing. At the moment, in the team that I've got penciled in, he's not in it, but Mitch Rain is. So subject to what the rosters look like round one, I'd say I'll probably have one of those guys, but not both of them.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Yeah, and then David Fifita is, for me, a no-brainer option.
Yeah, I think he's the same as last year. You know, he's priced around the same.
Well, he's 700 grand, but the Broncos were just absolutely terrible last year, and he still managed to average over 50 points. He's going to be playing left edge, so he'll be playing outside Brian Kelly and Fogarty on that edge.
Yeah, which is huge.
So, I mean, you know, looking at him, he played 9 games last year. 8 of those were for 80 minutes. For scores of 76, 58, 65, 60, 48, 65, 48. For a 700 grand investment, he's a perfect candidate for potentially having the captain armband round one.
Is there a bigger upgrade this season than going from Keegan Hipgrave to David McGee?
maybe going from Kieran Foran to Kyle Flanagan.
Okay, yeah.
Or going from whoever was replacing Kieran Foran. to Kyle Flanagan. But yeah, no, Keegan Hipgrave to David Fifita is just is a massive upgrade. So
it's a cheat code.
Yeah, it is a cheat code. So obviously Peachy was really good last year, but you know, his minutes are going to drop with the addition of Tino and Herman Essiesi. Expect him to play 35 to 40 minutes of impact lock off the bench slash covering for backline injuries. Probably not going to be investing in Peachy this year.
No, not without a lot of injuries, you'd think.
No. Last team that we'll talk about today, the Melbourne Storm. So Melbourne Storm's just come out earlier with their pricing. There's a couple of pretty good options here. There's one here that you were talking to me about that you were interested in. I'm sort of not quite there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who that is?
So I'm really excited about Ryan Papenhuyzen this year. I was one of the ones, one of the non-believers last year. I wasn't on the Papenhuyzen train like a lot of people were.
Yep. Well, that worked out really well if you weren't on the Papenhuyzen train for the start of last year.
Yeah, exactly. Like I thought I was spot on the money, and you know, he wasn't scoring too well at the beginning of the year, but as the year went on, he improved dramatically as a footballer. Like if you go back and watch some of those games, he was incredibly influential, and you can see it especially in the last game of the year where the Storm, you know, rested everybody and he was given the captain's armband. And just the way, because in 2019 and last year, at the beginning of last year, he was mainly, you know, that strike, you know, attacking weapon. He wasn't really much of a ball player. But as the season went on in the back half of last year, his influence, yeah, it was incredible. And he, over the last 11 games of the year, he averaged 55 and a half.
Okay. And is that including the last game where he only played 60 minutes or not?
Yeah, that is including that.
Okay, all right.
So, you know, and he's priced at 50, so there could be a little bit of value there.
Yeah, okay. And then obviously as well, if he manages to take on the goal kicking as well, which he didn't kick at all the goals last year.
Yeah.
That could push him into 60, low 60s territory, which is, you know, up with James Tedesco.
Oh, 100%. You know, I sort of see him a little bit as I saw Kalen Ponga last year, like a little bit undervalued, and we saw how well that went.
Yeah, at least for part of the year. So
yeah.
No, definitely. All right. Well, I'll definitely have another look at Ryan Papenhuyzen. The one that interests me is Cameron Munster. I bought Cameron Munster last year. He was awesome. Then he got injured, sold him, got him back when he came back, got injured the first game he came back from memory. And he sort of wasn't really the same when he came back the last time for round 16 through to 19, you know, 38 and then 55 and 60 with tries and 43. Whereas before that, he was 74, 61, 55, 68, 52. He sort of visibly was not right. I think he's came back with that knee all strapped up and, you know, he wasn't health wasn't 100%, when you can be not quite 100% and still be one of the top three best 5/8s in the game, that says a lot. So I'm expecting him to come in this year, shoulder more responsibility without Cameron Smith. I'm expecting him to take on some more kick meters, you know, be more responsible for the attack. And I think that's just going to translate into massive amounts of fantasy points. He's coming in priced at 671. So he's about the same price as Fogarty. And I think that the room for growth with Munster is massive.
Yeah, no, look, I completely agree. If I wasn't so high on Pappenhausen, Munster would be my top pick out of this side. In games where he played 80 minutes, he averaged a little bit over 54 last year. And so I think there's definitely a little bit of value there, especially with Cam Smith, we assume, now gone. I completely agree.
I would caution people to beware of Harry Grant. I think he's an awesome player and he's going to throw up a fantastic fantasy average. That's not what I mean by cautious. I think it's possible that he's not going to be a regular 80-minute player, though. I think some games he'll play 80 and other games he'll play 55, 60, 65, and Brandon Smith will spend some time at hooker, which is very similar to what he did at the Tigers last year. I'm not seeing a massive amount of upside already priced at over 60.
Yeah, no, I agree. At that price point, he's probably not one you want to start with.
And he'll be an upgrade target later once we see what his role's like.
Yeah, exactly. If he is playing 80 minutes, I don't think you're missing out on too many price rises.
No, well, that's it. Is there anyone else for Melbourne that you've got your eye on?
Just Pappenhausen and Munster. I'm just hoping that that Munster has worked up his off-season hangover from all the beers in Byron.
Do you remember 2 years ago, Kenny Bromwich was really, really good randomly?
Yeah, I do remember that. I
wonder what happened, because he's just gone back to being regular Kenny Bromwich again. But, like, I mean, you know, he's coming in off a 39 average, but he was 50-something. His average was in 2019. And I think he's the only player that significantly went backwards with more time in play for some reason.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like the Storm were a bad team or anything last year either. And he's playing outside Munster. You reckon he'd, you know, have a lot of attacking opportunities. I wonder if maybe it's just that, you know, Munster's taking too much ball from him or something.
Yeah, potentially. I had to dig into it deeper to try and figure out what's changed, because when he played over 70 minutes in 2019, he averaged 52.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And he didn't. So he only missed 70 minutes twice this year, and that was for 23 and 30. But, you know, he had a 29 in 80 minutes, a 33 in 80 minutes.
His average dropped 11 points.
Wild.
And his try scoring rate didn't change either.
Interesting. I don't know. You ever wonder why? I'm glad I talked. Somebody was telling me that they were going to get Kenny Bromwich at the start of last year. I'm glad I talked him out of that. I can't remember who it was. It was one person that was dead set. It's like,
whoever they are, they owe you a thank you.
Do not buy Kenny Bromwich. So, yeah, no, that's. I think that's a pretty good wrap up for today. Basically, we're six of 16 teams through the price releases. So I'd say we'll probably do one more with another six teams, and then, you know, four teams, and then looking at maybe doing the last four teams combined with what our teams are looking like as a start point or something like that. We'll let you know when we get there. Yeah, thanks for listening in, and we'll talk to you next time.
See you guys.